Hello, everybody, and welcome to RMU Radio. My name is Sam, and I'm here with
Nathan.
Today, you know, we're going to talk about some Philadelphia sports, mix it in with some Pittsburgh sports as well. Phillies, I mean, they're annoying, can't stand them anymore, so I'm not going to talk about any of that today. But a little bit of what we are going to talk about is the Sixers, because neutral team, you know, neutral, no teams competing with each other. But anywho, the Sixers, they seem to be looking to be pretty good this year. Very, very good defensive team with Embiid in the center and then power forward. You know, you mix in with a little bit of Al Horford and whatnot. And, you know, you got Matisse Thybulle coming off the bench. And I'm looking, this is shaping up to be a pretty good season. You know, hopefully the offense can gel and whatnot.
The only questions I'm going to have is, you know, coming into there with the leadership, you know, you lose a veteran player like Jimmy Butler, someone who has the experience, unlike a Simmons or an Embiid, who are probably the two best players in that locker room. Where is that leadership coming from? It's going to be one of my biggest questions for them.
Honestly, veterans on the team would definitely be Al Horford. I mean, Jimmy Butler, forget him. He can retire to Florida. He can be on a bad team, be the leader. Why not? He's not going to do anything down there. And then again with Miami, Tyler Hero is their second best player, a rookie. And then you got nobody else. So he's a bum. He can go off to Miami and do his own thing. But you have guys like Al Horford for veteran leadership, and then also you have Mike Scott, who's been in the league for quite some time. He's now considered a veteran. He can come off the bench for be that leadership for Matisse Thybulle and Zaire Smith, to allow their game to grow and whatnot.
One of my biggest concerns is long term with this franchise. Simmons and Embiid, both. I mean, Simmons is playing the point, but you know, long term, if he doesn't develop a shot, you know, those two play styles are going to clash. Embiid doesn't want to move really outside the paint, and you know, having a big driving point guard that you know might create issues having a big man there clogging up the paint. Kind of similar issues that Russell had whenever he had down there in OKC. Do you see what are the long-term issues, or what's the long-term scheme looking like for them with these two?
What I see with this long-term stuff with the Sixers, you have Ben Simmons, okay? Yeah, he doesn't have a jump shot, but if you have a 6'10" point guard who can pass like he can do, and you surround him with shooters, you have Al Horford, power forward, but he can shoot. You have Mike Scott. You have Matisse Thybulle, who was lighting it up in the summer league. You also have Zaire Smith, who showed signs that he can shoot. You have all these shooters around, and then you also have Tobias Harris as well. He's going to be a really big role, Tobias Harris, because Tobias Harris, okay, really, really couldn't do anything when you have JJ Redick, who needs somebody else to create his own shot. And then once he's gone, Jimmy Butler's gone, it's now all focused on Tobias Harris. It's going to be his show to run alongside Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid also over this offseason has gotten himself healthy. He'll be now more healthy to play in the playoffs and be able to have more longevity to his career. And now he's understanding that he needs to be in the middle, that he is the best center in the NBA. And he wants to be down low. Nobody's going to stop him. The only person that can stop him is on the Sixers, Al Horford. You have them two down low, no one scoring in the paint, and all the offense might come from inside there. Then you have Tobias Harris, who can pop a three. You have Mike Scott. You have the two rookies coming off the bench. It's unreal.
I think I'm going to backtrack here. You're trying to say that, you know, Joel Embiid's the best center in the NBA. What about, I mean, he might not be in the center role this year. He might be playing more the power forward, but you still have big men like Rudy Gobert, Anthony Davis, other players who play in that down low slot. Why is it that you think, I personally don't think Joel's quite there yet. I think he's still missing a few things from his game. I mean, like, his biggest concern has always been health. If he can't stay healthy, then you can't be the best player if you're not there on the court. Why is it that you want to give him the nod over, you know, some of the other players?
Because he's loyal. He's loyal to a team. He doesn't cause any drama. Doesn't do any of that stuff. Also, when he's on the court, it shows how big of an impact he is. Anthony Davis was a player with nobodies around him. Only person that could score. Yeah, he had a Jrue Holiday. Big deal. Joel Embiid, with the talent that he had around him, was able to put up 25, 30 points a game. Dude averaged 28 points per game last season. Yeah, he was not healthy in the playoffs. Lost 15 pounds so far this offseason. He's going to get healthier. He probably won't play the whole season because they're going to need him for the playoffs, but probably rest him towards the end of the season because Sixers are no doubt for the playoffs. So you get a chance to rest him. He's a no-doubter for the playoffs, and he's good to go.
Loyalty you bring up, I think that's something that's kind of become, obviously, you know, it's less valued now in the NBA, even more in, you know, just the modern world. There's a lot more movement between just even people just in companies or in, you know, these, you know, professional sports. People move around more. I don't know if placing loyalty on that necessarily makes him a better player than some of the others. But, I mean, the only thing with Anthony Davis you mentioned is he's never played around with any true stars. But you have no reason to believe that his production would significantly drop or he'd be any less of a great player. Still one of, you know, the top defending big men in the league. I mean, I'd say top three. Like I said, Rudy Gobert's, I mean, one of the top shot blockers. But then between him, Davis, and Embiid, you have some of the best defenders in the league. Anthony Davis has been consistently, you know, great scoring, great down low in the paint on defense. But there hasn't been a category in the stat sheet that he can't fill. And I think when you surround it with more talent, that's more ways that defenses have to look when, you know, defending what will be the Lakers this year. I think it creates more possibilities for him, more than it takes away from him.
That's right. So I see a couple of points that you're making. Thank you guys so much for tuning into RMU Radio. Again, my name is Sam.
And I'm Nathan.
And we'll see you next time.